Matthew 24 and Revelation 6 this morning. We got into last week, if you remember, we got into the time of Jacob's trouble, the tribulation period, and tried to get you to understand and see that the tribulation period is not made for the church, the saints. That's why Paul reveals that we will be taken out of the way. And the Holy Spirit that we possess will go with us. And it will be a terrible time upon the earth. But it's a time for the Gentile nations to be brought to justice for what they have done. And it will be a time for Israel to face God and recognize what they have done as well. And so that's why we looked last week and saw that it was time of Jacob's trouble. Now we began to open the seven seal book last week, and we talked about that the seven seal book in the book of Revelation was that God would get possession of the things of the earth once again. The things that the first Adam lost, the second Adam would be able to retrieve back. And so we just begin to see as they begin to open how that it corresponds with chapter 24 of Matthew. And remember, chapter 24 of Matthew was written before Paul revealed the mystery of the rapture. Some people tries to preach 24 as relating to Christians and the rapture. This is not dealing with the rapture, it's dealing with Israel. And so it's important to understand, and dealing with Israel and the things of the temple and the worship of Israel and different things. So last week we saw and saw that the first one was a man of peace that would come, false Christ. And we looked at the seal there in Revelation chapter 6. Now we want to look at the second one, if you will, and we began to do that last week, and I think we touched on it, and I'm just going to spend just a moment on it and rehash it. But if you look, the Bible says in verse number 6 of Matthew 24, there will be wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. The thing to understand about tribulation period is that I believe the Bible teaches that it will be anchored in by wars. I would not be surprised if we don't see the Third World War break out in a moment's notice. And it may happen before, it may happen after the rapture of the saints. It may be something that God uses to disguise the absence of people that's upon the earth, if the whole world broke out in war. And you say, well, that would be impossible, but let me say this. As smaller nations begin and rogue nations begin to get nuclear weapons, there are some people that would be willing to die just to kill other people. We've seen that. As a matter of fact, that happened on our own soil here back in 9/11, when we saw people just kill themselves running planes into the tire just to kill other people. Imagine some people with that philosophy that got a hold of a nuclear weapon. Imagine that they fired and somebody fired back. Somebody else got involved. Somebody else got involved. It would be within a day that the whole world could be at war. And it could be a devastating thing. It could be something that would escalate. It would be rumors of wars, and it would be wars that would break out. And of course, that corresponds, if you look in Revelation chapter 6, keep your hand in both places. It corresponds, if you will, in verse number 6 and 7. The Bible says that in chapter 6, or let's go on down. We'll go and see. Let me go back up. It'd be in verse 4. It says, and there went out another horse. The second horse was red, and power was given to him, set there to take peace from the earth. They shall kill one another, and there was given to him a great sword. In other words, God will be instrumental in bringing about this war. So it shouldn't be any surprise that war would break out. Now, I believe, because of the alignment of Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39, I believe that what we will see is we will see a war break out. Then we will see different pieces and parts of that war during the tribulation until it comes to a head at the end of the tribulation time. And that's where we find the great last battle called the Battle of Armageddon. And it will be actually accumulation of all the other wars that will be going on. And so the second horse, when the second seal was broken, was a red horse showing blood will be shed during this time. And of course, we know at the very last battle, we'll get in later on in this study, as we study the latter events of the world during these days, will be, the Bible describes the Battle of Armageddon as being so horrendous that the blood runs to the bridles of horses. And can you imagine how many people would die at that moment, at that stroke, if that was to happen? Look back, if you would, at the next thing that Jesus tells will be taking place. It will be a time of great despair. Notice, if you would, in verse number 7, it says, "For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom." And, of course, that's going back to the wars. "And there shall be famines and pestilence." Now, when we look at Revelation chapter 6 and verse 5 and 6, it says, "When he opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, 'Come and see,' and I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat upon him had a pair of balances in his hands." Now, the balances in the hands during this time represents that food will be rationed. It will be rationed out. In verse 6, it said, "And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, 'A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see that thou hurt not the oil and the wine.'" In other words, the oil and the wine represents the rich. The rich will not be affected by this, but when food is rationed, and of course, according to these scales and according to what people look at, it would be like an eighth portion of food provided to what we have today. Now imagine peak countries where they have very little to eat, and I have been in some, where all we ate for the whole week was just nothing but rice, and we got nothing beyond rice to eat. And imagine countries like that just had a handful of rice every day to eat. Imagine if the balances was against them, the poor countries, and imagine how and what death and famine and diseases would accumulate during those times. And of course, it wouldn't bother the rich, but it would be devastating to those who are poor. Now, the Bible also says that there would be pestilence. And you can imagine, now imagine if things begin to break loose on the earth, how diseases would not only increase, the pestilence that would come when you had people dying in war. If you go back to times of war, and you see not only does it bring forth death, but it brings forth also diseases because of the unsanitary situations that they find themselves into. Now, imagine, before we get through the book of Revelation, we're going to find that over a fourth of the whole world is killed. Imagine whatever it is, 1.678 billion people. Imagine that many people dead and people just walking around, leaving their bodies dying and rotting. I don't know how many have ever been around rotting bodies, but it brings disease. It doesn't take long for a body to rot. I went and I picked up many of people dead in just a matter of a couple of days, and it's amazing. It's amazing how deteriorating a body can be. I remember one time when I worked with EMS, we responded to a lady who had been dead for several months. We had to put on, when we got even close to the house, is in summertime, she stunk so bad that we had to put on breathing apparatus just to get close to the house and to go into the house to get her, because we couldn't stand to breathe the stink and stench. Now imagine a fourth of the world dying, and how many of them would lay rotting during this time. Imagine the disease and famines that would come. It's no wonder that the Bible paints this as a time. Not only that, but also he says in verse number 7 that in Matthew that there would be earthquakes in divers places. And in other words, we have seen in our generation, we have seen an increase of earthquakes. But these are going to be earthquakes and tornadoes and things like that that's going to happen in unusual places. We're already seeing the precedence of that coming on. And imagine if God just turned it loose and just let it go. Imagine what the world would be when all these things would be happening. Now, you've got to remember, you're not going to have the Holy Spirit to restrict the evil. You're not going to have the people that has the Holy Spirit praying for things in the country and God building hedges around those people. They're going to be gone. And now you're going to have wickedness upon the earth, and it's going to be amazing what takes place during that time. And so we will see that. Not only that, but also the Bible tells us, if you look back in verse number 8 of chapter 24, and these are the beginning of sorrows, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And so you need to understand that, and not be surprised that we are already building an attitude to see hatred toward people's lives. By that I mean we've already killed 55, 60 million babies in the womb. And we half the population in America thinks it's okay. Half the population in America just thinks that it's just some type of health care. And yet you take the most innocent lives out. How can people get so callous to do that? Well, now we're seeing also the push to be able to have mercy killings. Let people commit to kill themselves. And we've had that push. Now, soon down the road, those who are elderly, those who are mentally unsound, those who are handicapped, there will be a push for those individuals to be taken out. You know why we're seeing such callous toward life? Because our educational system has taken and lowered what life is really about. They've lowered us to equal or below animals, where therefore it's easy for men to hate one another and kill one another and not give the second thought of taking a human life. I mean, right now, we read stories about some of these places in America where MS-13 people have come into and different ones, and it's just like Chicago. Right now, I used to live in Chicago, and they have killings every day. Imagine, I saw this morning where a young man had walked out on his porch that wasn't involved in gangs or nothing and was shot and killed, just walking out on his porch. But I've also been reading and studying about some of this MS-13 groups. When they want to kill you, they want to make a statement, so they cut you up, they torture you, they do all kinds of things to you. And it's amazing. And you say, how can people be so ruthless? They don't see the value of what life is all about. They don't see any value in life. So imagine this. Imagine how ruthless and hateful the people will be when there's no Christians left upon this earth. Imagine what the attitude will be. And there's going to be a hatred for the Jews. Daniel tells us in chapter 7 that it's going to build up and it's going to be during this time. And it's going to begin to build and simmer. Now, we know the Antichrist is going to bring a peace pact with Israel for the first half of the tribulation. But that doesn't mean that people's going to fall in love with Israel. But through him and his persuasion, he's going to allow this peace pact to happen. But what's going to happen is, on the other side, people's going to have such a hatred. Let me just give you an example. Have you ever seen such hatred as people has toward our president right now? I mean, it's not just, I guarantee you, there's not anyone who disagrees with Trump any more than I disagree with Obama. I promise you. No one hated to see Trump elected that's on the other side any more than I hated to see Obama elected. I think he was the worst president we ever had. I think he took our nation back. I think he destroyed many fabrics of our nation that we're right now trying to rebuild. And people disagrees with me. But I don't go out there and spew hatred and have such hatred that I want to go beat everybody up that has a disagreement with me. And you say, how can people be so cruel? You seen they've got where they're putting concrete and milkshakes and throwing them in people's faces and throwing stones and hitting them and doing all and beating people. How can people be so cruel? When you don't value life and you don't have the Holy Spirit of God, you don't have the love of God shed abroad in your heart, you can spew hatred. And we see in some of these liberal places, these sanctuary cities, you stand up and there's been some people, I've seen pictures on the internet, it's probably some of you all have too, where somebody just walk in with a mega hat on and they beat them up. I mean, beat them to a pulp. How can people be so hatred? I mean, I see people that runs around with Obama stickers still on their cars. I mean, I don't ram my car into them. The thought enters my mind occasionally, but I don't ram my car into them. I'm joking. I don't ram my car into them. So what caused? Imagine when there is no Christian people left. And imagine the hatred toward Israel. Can you see the left in this country, their hatred toward Israel right now? And you know, the thing that astounds me right now, and I'm going to get into politics just a minute and get off track, but it's okay. You know, they've beaten our president up about getting involved in another nation or another nation getting involved in us in our election. Obama openly tried to overthrow the prime minister of Israel. He paid with taxpayers' money, supported the opposition, and did all kinds of things. And it was well known, and not a word is ever said. That's the difference. And you know why? Because the left has developed a hatred toward Israel. And by the way, even though the Antichrist is going to bring a peace treaty, doesn't mean that the left's going to love Israel. Because when they get a chance at the end of tribulation period of time and the wickedness of the world, they're going to come against Israel and they're going to want to destroy Israel. That's going to be their desire. And as a matter of fact, even the Antichrist himself, halfway through, is going to turn. And he's going to have such a hatred of Israel, he's going to want to wipe them off the face of the earth. So when Jesus tells them in Matthew that they're going to be delivered up, as a matter of fact, when you see in verse number 9, The Bible says, and when he opened the fifth seal, I saw the altar of the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, for the testimony which they held. In other words, there's going to be some that's going to be, there's going to be so many that's going to be killed because of what they believed during that time. And of course, the fourth seal, if you look back in Revelation chapter verse 8, is the seal of death, the pale horse. And death's going to come from all these things we've talked about. And so when Jesus begins to tell them how things are going to be at the end of the world, again, he's talking to Israel, but again, he's telling them not to be shocked. Now, notice, if you would, back in Matthew 24, that he goes on in verse number 13. In verse 12, it says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold, but he that endureth the end shall be saved. Talking about Israel. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Then the end shall come. Now, the end is when the Antichrist comes, in the second part of the Antichrist, and when it's going to come. But there's going to be a love for sin that's going to increase. And you're going to see that. As a matter of fact, Paul begins to tell how things will be at the end. And I watched some of these young people being interviewed. And I see some of them talking about election issues. And I think, how ridiculous. You know, and you see people that's never worked a day for nothing. And then they're sitting there saying, well, I'm voting for this guy or this woman because they're going to give me everything free. How ridiculous. I'd love to live in a socialistic country because everything's free. I've been in socialistic countries. It may be free, but it's not free. And by the way, you're not free. You're told what to do, when to do, and how to do, and they give you what you want, and what they don't want to give you, they don't give you. And the government gets rich, and you get raped and robbed of everything that you have. But some of these young people are so ignorant because they're being brainwashed into thinking and believing this. And so you can see it setting the prime time when God comes upon the face of the earth and he takes out those who are saved and he leaves all this other generation behind. Can you imagine? Have you ever stopped to think all this stuff that they're saying, all this leftists they're saying that they want to do to America? I know most of you would have enough sense to understand how that would destroy America. But imagine if the saved people was gone and people like that had control of everything. How destructive it would become so quick. It would destroy everything. And so we would see that. But thank God that not everything's going to be bad, because in verse 14 we read in Matthew 24, that there's going to be some that's going to preach the gospel of the kingdom. Look, if you would, in Revelation chapter 7. The Bible doesn't leave us ignorant on who that's going to be. It says in verse number 1 of chapter 7, and after these things I saw four angels standing on four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their forehead. Now notice that we're fixing to break into this great tribulation time. We're fixing to break in here to the time when devastation is, it looks bad right now in the tribulation of things that we've read, the red horse, the black horse, the pale horse, the souls that was under the altar crying that they've been slain during this time and killed for their testimony. And it looks bad. And it looks bad that people's going to hate one another and persecution is going to be. But as Jesus told the disciples, this is only the beginning of sorrows. Wait until the vials and wait until the trumpets are released upon the earth. The seals was one thing, but when God begins to blow the trumpets and you see the seven trumpets blown and then you see the seven vials poured out, the earth is going to be hurt. Because sometimes it's going to be blood in a third of the waters, and fish is going to die. We'll look at that next week or two. But imagine what it would be like. And God saying, hold up, I've got something I want to do before we bring this time in. Look on what he says. He says in verse 3, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. And he goes on, he lists the tribes. Now, you'll notice that the tribe of Dan is not listed in that group. And the reason why the tribe of Dan is not, and yet we find the tribe of Joseph's two sons are listed. Ephraim and Manasseh is listed in there. And the reason why the tribe of Dan is not listed in 12 tribes is because God told them that the first tribe to introduce idolatry into Israel, and of course Dan introduced the worship of the golden calf in the upper kingdom, and so God evidently took his name and told him he would take his name out, and he took his name out. And so you find the 12 tribes listed there in the next several verses. I'm not going to read all those, but the Bible says that they were sealed, 12,000 of each of the 12 tribes. And now let me say this while we're doing this. Now remember, as we approach the end time and this period of time, we're going to see more and more deception. Well, one great deception that we have, religious deception and false teachings and false Christ, is through the very ones that claims to be these 144,000. They call themselves Jehovah's Witnesses. When you read and you study the history of them, they claim to be, originally, they claim to be the original official 144,000 that it talks about here. Yet they're not Jews, and they're not of the 12 tribes of Israel that's listed here. And God sealed these in their forehead, and I'll guarantee you, I'm not telling you to do this, but you have a Jehovah's Witness come to your house and you stick a gun and shoot him in the head, he's going to die. These 144,000, nobody's going to be able to kill them during this time. The Antichrist and everybody else will want to shut them up. They've got one task. Back in Matthew chapter 24, verse 14, they got the task of preaching the gospel of the kingdom to the whole world. And when they're preaching, boy, they're not going to like the message. But God says, hold off on hurting the earth. Let's seal these. And when he seals these, no one can do any harm to these. And so no one's going to be allowed, and these are going to be a witness. Now, there's going to be two more witnesses that we're going to read about in chapter 11 of Revelation that's going to die in the street and lay there for 3 days and then come back to life. And they're going to kill them because of their message. And we'll talk about that later on. But these 144,000 are yet to be. And so anyone who claims to be the 144,000 is false teaching. And so somebody said, well, I don't want to hurt their feelings when they come knocking on my door. The Bible says that you do not bid them Godspeed, or you become a partaker of their evil deeds. You don't wish them well. You don't say, well, I hope you do well. You let them know that you are definitely against their doctrine. One time I had a couple come, had three. They came, and I told them some things, and they couldn't answer some questions that I gave them. They said they'd send somebody back to answer questions. Well, that was 20-some years ago. That they came to my house, and I've not had another visit since. Never. And somebody said, did you wish them back a Godspeed? Absolutely not. I told them that they could not take and teach, they could not show me their false doctrine in the Bible, in the King James Bible, without trying to use some of Joseph Smith's writings, and tried to use, not Joseph Smith's writings, but some of the writings of the Watchtower Ministry and those things. I said, you can't take the King James Bible and show me the truth in these things. And so therefore, that's only the beginning. We're seeing everywhere we see people rising up. Why is people so easily fooled today? I'll tell you why. Well, let me ask you this without no one answering. How much time did any of us spend in the Bible this week? Reading, studying. And you know how much time, have you ever talked to many people around about the Bible? How many people have you seen that is Christians that doesn't have a clue what the Bible really teaches? Can you imagine? So how can people be so easily deceived? They're easily deceived because they don't know what to believe. They believe whatever somebody's telling them to believe. And it's amazing how people falls in line. And you can have somebody stand up and teach something crazy. Now let's look one more time. The Bible says, and go back to Matthew chapter 24. And he says in verse 15, when you see therefore the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand. Now we talked about this, and we went over to Daniel chapter 9. And that's where he's going to come into the temple because they're going to have to build the temple. And he's going to sit and he's going to declare himself to be God. Now this is where him and the Jews have a falling out. And so we're going to have, in Revelation chapter 13, we have this guy described. And we looked a little bit about it. But the Bible says that he's going to be given, verse 5. And verse 4, it says, and they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. They worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Now, you've got to remember, some people believe that what it teaches is that he will be killed and he'll be brought to life in front of people. Now imagine, you take some of our presidents like John F. Kennedy that was assassinated and he's been exalted on such a level. Imagine if he was already exalted, but imagine if he came back to life right after he was killed. Imagine what people would think about him then. And imagine the way that the world's going to look at this guy if he's able to be brought back to life, if this actually happens to him. And so, anyway, we will pick it up next week, and we will look at the second half of the Great Tribulation, and we will begin to study some issues there. Let's have a word of prayer and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Go with us throughout this day. Lead, guide, direct as only you can. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.